ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
हरे कृष्ण. Thank you all for coming here tonight. We have a very special evening planned for you. So when you have experience of extreme hot summer in India, right? And when the summer is really hot and keeps on getting hotter and hotter, what is one thing that everybody is looking for?
Rain.
Rain, right? And this is what living entity in this material world, the life in the material world is like. And we are looking for a little bit of rain, and lots of rain, which is provided by great sentient people, who bring this rain to douse out the samsara dhavana. So today, amongst us, we have two great personalities who have brought this rain of Krishna's nectar to our hearts, to our homes. And I'd like to introduce you to both of them. Is this Vaisheshika Prabhu?
Thank you.
Both of them have been dear servants of Srila Prabhupada since the 70s, early 70s, and tirelessly giving themselves the cause of this movement. Traveling around the world, pretty much more than, I'd say, now it's like even increasing more than 6 months or 8 months a year. Continuously on the flight, just to share this rain water with all of us. They were initiated by Srila Prabhupada in the 70s, and His Grace Vaisheshika Prabhu is a pioneer in book distribution, a pioneer in hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. And wherever he goes, the seeds he plants, they quickly fructify into a blazing forest of distributing and taking this mercy. And he is a pioneer of this great center in Silicon Valley. It's called Silicon Valley, which is setting the example for the whole world in terms of hearing and chanting and then distributing the overflow in terms of books and different kinds of outreach programs. He regularly visits these corporations in Silicon Valley like Google, Salesforce, and so many other places he goes. The people are actually learning, not just to make lots of money, but learning how to live and how to form a deeper connection with themselves and with Krishna. So today, tonight, we are very blessed to have them and hear their glorification of the Supreme Lord. So let's give them a bigger round of applause. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Loka Jyotir. My obeisances to His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, and to all of you who are Vaishnavas, and therefore you are the most worshipable of all in the whole universe, because you're very dear to Lord Krishna. And it's a pleasure to be back here in Virginia. It's a growing community, I can see. And I just see bead bags and neck beads and tilak and everyone eager to be together and to hear about Krishna. And this great mission of Krishna consciousness has been going on since the beginning of creation. It's Krishna's intention that everyone get an opportunity who's in the material world to come in contact with the knowledge of Krishna consciousness so that they can make an informed choice to go back to Godhead, so that they can make an informed choice about how to organize their lives in such a way that they'll be happy. The Shirsha Upanishad says, Anyad eva hura sambhavad, anyad ahura sambhavat, iti shushumadhiranam ninas tadvijachakshire. One result is obtained by worshipping the supreme cause of all causes, and another result is obtained by worshipping that which is not supreme. And if one mistakenly thinks that a life invested in worshipping that which is not supreme will lead to some kind of success or happiness, then there will be great disappointment. However, a little bit of effort towards worshipping the Supreme and learning who the Supreme is and how to worship Him in the best possible way is immediately effective. Recently, when I was in Govardhan, I spend the Kartik month at Govardhan Hill. We have a hearing and chanting program there every year. And just recently, when we were reading the Bhagavatam, I noted a section that Prabhupada, in which Prabhupada says that it's very difficult. It takes a lot of work to go to hell. You really have to try hard. But going back to Godhead, it's not so hard, actually. To please Krishna is not so hard, because he's easily pleased. It requires a little simple bhakti, and he'll accept our offering. So the whole world now is in darkness in this way, because people have, at best, fragmentary knowledge about the process of God consciousness. Today we went out to various places around Germantown and the D.C. area. Was it the D.C. area? Is that proper to say? Around Maryland. That's easier. And we had an organized team of devotees. And we went out, maybe how many of us?
30, 35.
35 at least, yeah. And we went to various spots, as I know a lot of you do. But I'm still feeling exhilarated from that outing. The first thing is, when you decide to do something like that, it seems a little daunting, maybe even a little bit scary, because what will happen when you go out into the great unknown and attempt to give other people knowledge about Krishna? Do any of you have any idea what might happen? Yes?
You may be rejected.
Oh, you could be rejected? Our minds tell us the worst, normally. And it seems a little fearful that what might happen, and this idea of rejection and so forth might be there. I was thinking about how most of our growth, or maybe I'd be bold enough to say all of our growth, in any discipline, but in Krishna consciousness, takes place when we put ourselves out a little bit. Even take a risk. This is yajna, really makes, we use the word sacrifice. What, do you have a Kumbh Mela going back there? There's a lot of rooms in this temple. Nice to see the kids. The kids are the leaders of tomorrow, and it's nice because they get such an early start in Krishna consciousness. And when they have a sense of mission, and they have absorption and association, hearing and chanting and so forth, they have really strong development. Thank you. So when we went out today, there was a exhilaration in the air. You could feel it. Everyone was bubbling before they went out the door, because there's a little nervous energy also, like what's going to happen when we get there and so forth. And when we did get there, obviously it takes a little organization. The Krishna consciousness movement is meant to be organized. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spent time thinking about how to organize his kirtan parties, where to send his generals, like Rupa and Sanatan. He sent them to Vrindavan and as a base. And from there, he asked them, Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipuno Shadharma Samstapago, to cultivate all of the, or extract from all the Vedic literature, the pertinent points of Siddhanta that would bring the Sampradaya of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to the world in such a way that people could follow it easily. And he himself went all over South India. So there's a precedent for all this. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself and his devotees, they would go out various places. Haridas Thakur, Advaita Acharya, they went door to door. Oftentimes in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, it's described how, while going door to door, sometimes people would invite them in. You come in, take some food. And they would say, no, we only came here to tell you three things. Bolo Krishna, Bhajo Krishna, Koro Krishna Shika. We didn't come to eat. We're just giving this, please chant Hare Krishna, please worship Krishna, take shiksha from Krishna, from Bhagavad Gita. He these three things. And when they went door to door, some people rejected them. This is written in scripture, that they would go to the door, knock on it, and they say, go away. They're telling Advaita Acharya, Nityananda, Prabhu, these are Vishnu Tattva, get away from my house. So don't feel bad. And it's said Nityananda Prabhu would sometimes, he was in such a mood of compassion that he would roll on the ground and beg people, please, please take it. He had so much compassion. It sounds like somebody's trying it up there. We've done that. We've employed that technique, not exactly rolling on the ground, but sometimes when we knock on people's doors, we'll get on our knees. And it's really hard for them to close the door if we're on our knees. We were in Toronto a couple years ago. We go there every year a couple times, and there was a couple inside. I think they were from Afghanistan. In any case, the woman was very friendly and talkative. She opened the door. Her husband could see us at the door, but he was sitting on the couch, I think reading something or watching something. And he knew we were there, but he wouldn't look over. But he was making comments anyway about us being there. And, you know, we presented the woman with the book, and she had a conundrum because she couldn't acquiesce and give a donation unless her husband agreed. And meanwhile, he was sort of ignoring the situation. So we just got on our knees right in the doorway. And finally, that caught his attention. And gradually, as we stayed there, determined to spread the message of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to that household, we doubled down. And finally, the guy got up and he came over and he began talking to us and turned into a long conversation. He had a lot of interesting philosophical points. And we very humbly fielded his different questions and points. And finally, the woman came in and gave a donation. It was like $5, and we'd given him a couple of big books. And he said, no, 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 and he came back and he gave us $100. And such amazing things happen in the course of going out to meet people here, there, and everywhere. This is not some sales technique, and it's not just like ordinary salespeople going door to door. In fact, it's for our own purification. In the Nectar of Devotion, you'll notice that Prabhupada talks about Lal Babu. In the section in Nectar Devotion on Humility, he says that Lal Babu was a big landowner, a big billionaire. But when he became a devotee, he then went door to door and begged. Even from his previous political enemies, he begged. Just a little bit at every door. And this was, as Prabhupada writes, an exercise in humility. So this going out into the great unknown and standing up for Krishna to spread his message and his word is also what Prabhupada mentions in the Nectar Devotion, is a way in which one can befriend Krishna. After all, isn't it a friendly activity to go out and tell others about Krishna? This is a very intimate connection. When, at the risk of embarrassing yourself or being rejected, or in some places it's much worse than that, not in America right now, but in some places devotees, and Prabhupada mentions this, have sacrificed much more than that to go out and spread the message. This endears one to Krishna. Simultaneously, it tests our own resolve, because we really have to think about it. Why am I doing this? Is it really necessary? What if somebody sees me out here from the office? What do they think? And then what will I say? And there's a lot that can go through one's mind. On a more esoteric side, when we look at other human beings, what do we see? We might see a person from a particular race or class, and my mind might judge and think, oh, this person won't be interested, will be interested, isn't worthy, is worthy. And we can be really surprised I was going door to door distributing books in the San Diego area a couple of years ago. And it was an apartment complex. I went to the second floor, and there was a couple from India. And I thought, ah, my friends. So we started talking to them. And the woman in the house said, these are all stories. They don't mean anything. She wanted me to go away. And I did. And then I went downstairs, and there were these forced Muslim students, young men. I think they were Yemeni. I can't remember the country they were from, but they were Pakka Muslims. When they opened the door, I was in my dhoti, and I said, Salaam alaikum, alaikum salam, madhava, kifelak, alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. And they said, ha ha ha, you come in. They were smoking cigarettes, each one of them. Four in the house. They were eating chicken. They were drinking Coca-Cola. They said, sit down with us. I sat down. And I was thinking, this is what we do. We'll go anywhere. And if we didn't go in, who would go? And it's the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, go knock every door. So I sat down with them and I showed them the Bhagavad Gita. I just explained it to them. I said, this is a book of universal knowledge that shows that our real purpose in life is to wake up love for God. And they deeply appreciated the fact that I was doing this. And they were from another country. They were here in the land of America getting an education. And they saw a kindred soul. They didn't notice a different doctrine or religion or anything like that. They just appreciated it. Each one of them gave me $20. And when I left, I was walking around the side and they had come out onto the patio. It was in part of the back area of the apartment. And they're all waving, goodbye. And I was thinking, when I walked up the stairs to see the Gujarati couple, I was thinking, oh yes, these people will take. When the Muslims opened the door, I thought, oh, cigarettes, chicken, Coca-Cola, Middle East, no way. But I was surprised. And so this is something that helps us to overcome the bodily concept of life. And the Sri Upanishad has said, one who sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord and sees the Supreme Lord within everything, never hates anything or any being. This is real religious principle, to give up envy of others and not judge them based on their external features. Right after 9/11, do you remember that? A couple people? I went to New York right after 9/11. I think I went to India first. 2 days after 9/11, the plane was empty. When I got back, I went to New York. And I found people to be in a really... their nerves were jangled. Their reality had shifted. They had thought that they were protected by their nation, by their wealth, by the fact that they were Americans and so forth. And the reality changed. And I remember meeting people on the street at that time that were so open and receptive to hearing that there was a way in which one could find refuge in a higher reality. But anyway, one day I was at the Brooklyn Temple and I was giving a seminar on book distribution, and one of the tenets of book distribution I mentioned is don't walk out the door anywhere you go without a book. And I was just about to go out the door with my friend Mitrasena Prabhu, and he said, oh, do you have a book? You just said bring a book. And I said, oh my goodness, I don't have one. Let's go back. So we went back in. We got a Sri Upanishad, and then we went out in the street. It was during the break to take a walk around the block. And as we turned the corner, we saw a workman, an Italian-American, very robust man, wearing work clothes, big dump truck. And he was taking a break, leaning against the dump truck. And here we came, two Americans, dressed in whatever he imagined it to be. And as we got closer, he looked at us. He goes, "What are you, Buddha?" I was thinking, how do you really answer that? And then as he said that, I remembered I had a Sri Shapanishad. I interpreted what he meant. You know, what are you guys? He wanted to know. He was inquiring. And I took out the Sri Shapanishad and I showed him. And remember, this is after 9/11. People were very much aware of the fact that sectarianism is dangerous because people may take to a religious process and then become fanatical about it and think that our way is the only way and therefore everyone else should be killed because it's for their own good. If they're following some wrong path, if they're not killed, then they'll probably go to hell. So if we mercifully kill them. I mean, there's a lot of misconceptions people can get when they have fragmentary knowledge about the absolute truth, or they become radicalized by being isolated in a certain group. So people were aware of that and nervous. And I started to explain the philosophy, and I thought the best thing is to read these two verses from the Sri Shapanishad. One of them says, "One who always sees all living entities as spiritual sparks in quality one with the Lord becomes a true knower of things. What then can be illusion or anxiety for him?" And the other one, it was, "One who always sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord and sees the Supreme Lord within everything never hates any being, anything or any being." And when he heard those two, I saw it was a visceral reaction. He nodded his head. He appreciated that this should be the standard bearer for religious principles. No envy. Seeing the living entity, not just the external body. And I explained to him that we accept donations based on the fact that when you give something for spiritual knowledge, it gives you the wherewithal to read it and appreciate it. He appreciated that idea too, so he jumped up in his big truck and he was rummaging around in the glove box. He finally came down with $16 and gave it to us. When I walked away, I was thinking about how everyone's looking for the common principle of spiritual life, non-sectarian universal principle, and that's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching the world. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also emphasized the mission that everyone should join in and help to spread the Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. Practically speaking, this is high sadhana, because when one does this, one's worshipping the Supreme Lord who's within everyone's heart. And according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, you all know the section of the churning of the milk ocean. What's the first thing that happened when they actually successful, they, meaning the demigods and the demons, helped out enormously by the Lord, were able to get the ocean churning? What came out first?
Poison.
Yeah, so poison came out, and then they went to Lord Shiva. It was the intention of the Lord to glorify Shiva, to show his prowess. So he encouraged them, all the demigods and the demons, to go to Lord Shiva and pray for his help. Parvati didn't mind. She knew the power of her husband. And Shiva took the poison that had emanated from the ocean, and he, taking it in his palm, drank it down, kept it in his throat, and saved the universe. And commenting on this heroic act by Lord Shiva, Shukadeva Goswami commented on the spirit of Lord Shiva. And he said, "Tapyante lokatapena sarva prayasojana parama aradhanam tadi purushasakilatmanaha." He said, the highest worship that one can offer to the Supreme Personality of Godhead is to take some trouble upon one's own head in order to do good for others, to help elevate them to a higher position. Tapa. Tapyante lokatapena. Loka means the people of the world. And tapyante means to take some tapasya, to do tapasya for the sake of helping others to come to knowledge. Parama Aradhanam. Aradhanam means to worship. So the Parama Aradhanam, the supreme form of worship, is to suffer for the sake of the suffering people and to do good for them. So each body that we come in contact with is actually an altar. It's a temple. The real means of worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead is to recognize that He's there within the heart of every living being. And that every living being that we see is a walking temple. And when we approach people and we give them an opportunity to take spiritual knowledge, Krishna within their heart becomes pleased with us. And when people take spiritual knowledge from us, He becomes pleased with them also. And He encourages them from within the heart. In fact, the Srimad Bhagavatam says that if in the 11th canto, end of the 4th chapter, that if someone incidentally who comes in contact with devotees utters the holy name, that person becomes blessed because the Supreme Personality of Godhead notices this person just chanted my name. And therefore, Bhagavatam says that person, the Lord feels bound to stay within his heart. Bound in the sense almost like with ropes. This is mentioned in the second verse of the Bhagavatam, which starts Dharma Projita Kaitavo. And then later on the verse says, Sadyo Hridyavarudyate, which means that when somebody listens to Bhagavatam, even a little bit, the Lord feels inclined to stay within their heart. Of course, He's already there, but He stays there in a very special way as he becomes aware that the person's lending their ear to the Bhagavatam, and therefore He tries to help them. Also, the famous verse from the second chapter, 17th verse, you all know, Srinvatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hridyan Taksto Hibadrani Vidhunoti Suritsatam. That Krishna, when the living entity listens to the message of Bhagavatam, Krishna helps that person from within the heart to purify the heart and gives full intelligence. So when all of you take to this sacrifice of going out door to door, town to town, to meet people, make friends with them, and give them an opportunity to take Krishna conscious literature, you're doing the highest kind of worship of the Lord who's within everyone's heart. And this is a way, Prabhupada said, to become recognized very quickly by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And I've seen in communities, ISKCON communities all over the world, wherever that missionary spirit is, there it's followed by a growing desire to hear and chant about the Lord. Because, as the Bhagavatam also says, Shushu Shro Shadadhanasya Vasudeva Katarichi Sian Mahatsevaya Vipra Punya Tirta Nishevanat. When you do this kind of elevated service, then naturally you'll gain an affinity for hearing about Krishna. And this hearing is actually, or rather I should say, the desire to hear about Krishna is the symptom which indicates spiritual health. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, when Kapila Dev is describing the various stages of devotional service, he talks about devotional service in the mode of ignorance, in the mode of passion, in the mode of goodness, and then he describes transcendental devotional service. And in that description, he says, Madguna Shruti Matraina, Mai Sarva Guhashaye, Mano Gatir Avichina, Yata Gangam Vasun Budhao. He describes how a person who has come to the transcendental position of devotional service, freed from the modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, is inclined to hear about the Lord. And in fact, he says, when such a person hears the instructions of the Lord or the pastimes of the Lord, his or her mind runs after that kata, wants to hear it more and more and more and more. And he compares it to the Ganga. Flowing to the ocean, it can't be stopped by any obstacle. It'll find a way to get there. And this is the other half of the equation of perfecting one's life, besides distributing transcendental knowledge to the world and using one's resources to do so, means mental resources, any kind of physical resources one has to managerial skills, to organize so that one can spread Krishna consciousness. And also, organizing one's life in such a way that one can hear about Krishna regularly and constantly. Constantly, for neophytes, for beginners, means regularly. Jiva Goswami says this in his commentary, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. If we tell beginners that you have to hear constantly, then they'll go away and be disappointed and say, I can't do that. So he says it means at least every day, something every day. I've thought about it, how daunting it is to read all of Prabhupada's books. You might notice that there's a lot of books there if you put them all on one shelf. And one day I was contemplating how would it be possible to regularly read all these books. And I heard a statement by a speaker named Brian Tracy, and he was saying that any big task that you want to do, if broken up into small pieces, can be easily accomplished. So he counted the number of pages in all of the books, starting with Srimad Bhagavatam, and found out that if you read a certain number of pages every day, lo and behold, you'll come to the end of it at a certain point. That was a revelation, because if you just are asked to do as many push-ups as you can, you might keep looking up and going and say, when can I stop? But if we tell you, do 20, then you'll be determined because you know the goal. So we made a chart early on. It was a little paper chart I'd pass out wherever I went that listed all of Prabhupada's books on one side, and it would show how many pages there were in each one of them. And then we listed different time periods across the top. And then below the time periods, it would show how many pages for each book you'd have to read in order to finish it within that time period. And I'd pass it out wherever I went, and people really liked it. So then we turned it into an app, which is available now on Android or iOS. It's called Be a Sage, page by page. And if you go there, there's a picker wheel, and you can turn to any one of Prabhupada's books, and then you can say when you'd like to finish it, how many months, how many years, and so forth. So for instance, you could go to Bhagavatam and say, I'd like to finish it within a year. And could that be done? Your opinion? How many pages would one have to read? 41 only. And it's not that much, actually. If you consider what the accomplishment would be to read 41, to finish the whole Bhagavatam within a year, what it would make of your life to actually do that, one might contemplate that. One might make some adjustment in one's life and say, I'm going to read 41 pages a day, and I'm going to finish the Bhagavatam. And how different would your life be then? You'd have a very strong transcendental purpose besides the other kinds of vows that you've made. This kind of drives a wedge. Like, there's a small end to a wedge and then a bigger end. And if you push the wedge into a place where there's not much room, but you keep applying pressure, gradually it opens it up. And similarly, if you find ways in which to increase your hearing and chanting, which is the primary activity of bhakti, shravanam kirtanam, then you'll notice that your life starts to open up by Krishna's grace. It gives you more facility, and Krishna helps in all regards, from within and from without. And if you don't like 41 pages, then you can finish the Bhagavatam in 5 years. And all you have to do is read 8 pages. How does that sound? So, these two aspects of Krishna consciousness are broad categories that you can think about. Distributing the mission, which is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes as the lifeblood of the devotees, Param Vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtan. There's unlimited work to do in that field. And on the other side, to organize your lives in such a way that you can increase the hearing and chanting. Because this is the only counterbalance to the onslaught of material nature, is hearing about Krishna and chanting about Krishna and the association of devotees. With these two together, you have a very powerful kind of sadhana that will bring you to the ultimate goal of life. So you formed this sangha here, and I hear that you're doing really well with these two aspects of Krishna consciousness. So I said all these things just as a way of encouraging you to say that you're doing the right thing. Giving mercy to others by distributing transcendental knowledge, especially book distribution, and organizing yourselves in groups so that you can hear and chant, and finishing your own hearing and chanting every day. These two things will sustain you. And by giving importance to these and energy, giving energy to these two activities, the community will grow with a strong foundation. Oftentimes I think when I go to distribute books of what it is people are going to read when they get them. So sometimes I like to just pick up any book and open it to any page and imagine the person who just bought a book and walked away, and what will they read? Did you ever try that? Would you like to try it? Two people would like to try it. Okay. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. 20 people would. The rest of you, you can either go in that back room while I do this, or just cover your ears. So I have a book in my bag. It's still here from the distribution today. And I haven't marked it or anything, but I'm going to reach in and grab it. And it's a chant and be happy. Do you distribute this book? Who said yes? Okay, you're not from this yatra. You distribute this book? That's okay. A few of you, yeah. So let's just see if we open it to any page. Actually, I need a little help. You come up. Just open it randomly to any page and let's see what happens. Let the record show that it had nothing to do with picking the page. Thank you, sir. What is your name? Arjun. Very nice. Okay, so I just bought the book and some parking lot or door-to-door. It's been a long day. And I just opened it randomly, and here I look in. Mukunda, the Vedic literatures reveal that prasadam conveys spiritual realization, just as chanting does, but in a less obvious or conspicuous way. You make spiritual advancement just by eating it. George. And I might then look, who's George? And look at the front cover. Oh, it's George Harrison. I'd say from my experience that it definitely works. I've always enjoyed prasadam much more when I've been at the temple or when I've actually been sitting with Prabhupada than when somebody's brought it to me. Sometimes you can sit there with prasadam and find that 3 or 4 hours have gone by and you didn't even know it. Prasadam really helped me a lot because you start to realize now I'm tasting Krishna. You are conscious suddenly of another aspect of God, understanding that he's this little samosa. It's all just a matter of tuning in to the spiritual, and prasadam is a very real part of it. Mukunda, you know, a lot of rock groups like the Grateful Dead and Police get prasadam backstage before their concerts. They love it. It's a long-standing tradition with us. I remember one time sending prasadam to one of the Beatles recording sessions, and your sister was telling me today that while you were doing the Bangladesh concert, Shamasundra used to bring you all prasadam at the rehearsals. The books that we distribute have highly concentrated information about the system of bhakti, spiritual knowledge. It's not diluted, but it's very clearly explained. There's so much more in this book that could give anyone a start in Krishna consciousness. Sometimes people ask the question, what happens to all the books that you distribute? And someone might say, well, you've distributed millions of books, so where's the millions of people? And, of course, if you think of anything in such a general way, you may not come up with a satisfying answer. But the other day when we were in Toronto, we were going door to door, and I had particularly asked that we were sent to an Arabic-speaking section. Not that I speak Arabic, but we have Arabic books, and I think that's a miracle that we've been able to translate all our books into Arabic and that we have them available to take door to door. And that a lot of our brethren, Arabic-speaking brethren, are available in these free countries where we can go around and meet them and give them information about Christian consciousness. So they took me, along with some other devotees, to some apartment areas that Google had told us had Arabic-speaking people. And we started going up and down the halls, knocking on the doors. And we discovered after some time that they were actually, most of them, from Iraq. And most of them were Christians who had taken refuge in Canada to get away from any persecution. And we were presenting them books and finding many very pious people who were open to taking in the knowledge. And I was thinking what a miracle it is that we're able to connect with so many people and give them this information. And everywhere in the world, people, Prabhupada says, are simply sitting in their homes. They're looking out the window down the road and they're asking, when will Nitai and Gaur come and save me? This was Prabhupada's meditation when he came, before he came to America, to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. So, I want to ask you if you have any questions or any kind of reflections from anything I've said so far that you want to bring back to me. And one other question I have before we do that, is it possible to get any more air in here? Is there a delivery system of any kind? If not, I'll understand. I can go out without air for at least a few minutes, but... Okay, in the back. Please, yes. Do we have a separate microphone for the questioners? Yeah. Hold that microphone really close to your mouth, please. Go ahead.
Mamaji, I just want to know about the books distribution and educating about the Krishna consciousness about to the other culture people. So how... I always thought like the God Krishna with his leelas, Bhagavad leelas, he attracted people...
Keep using the mic because people can't hear online. Go ahead.
Yeah, like the God has attracted himself, you know, all the other people towards him. And distributing the books and talking to the people with the other cultures, like, what are we trying to do here? That part I don't get.
Oh yeah, thanks for reminding me. Actually, I kind of interrupted my train of thought when I was speaking about going to these apartment buildings. And so when we think about what is the result and what are we trying to do, thank you for your question. If we think of it in a very general way, it may be hard to understand. But when you look at each individual case, the people that you meet, we met people and there was an interaction between us, and they took the book into their house. When we were driving home from that experience of distributing Bhagavad Gita's and other books in the Arabic-speaking area, then I was thinking on the way home of all the individual interactions I had had. Some people had been very happy to meet us. Some people had been just tolerant, and they had given something for the sake of not having to say no. Other people just said no for the convenience of that. But I was thinking in my mind's eye of the various books that were in people's homes. There they are. They have to deal with it now, once it's in your house. There's a Bhagavad Gita in your own language sitting there on your kitchen table. And what are the scenarios that might happen after that? Someone comes home, like, what is that? Where did that come from? What is it? The conversations start. And we've seen so many instances where books went into someone's house, and then even 20 years later, somebody reads it and becomes inspired to surrender to God. These books transcend any kind of culture because they're talking about the spiritual soul and not about the culture itself or the body. In fact, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Vidya Vinaya Sampani Brahmani Gavi Hastani Shuni Chaiva Shupakecha Pandita Samadarshina, that a learned person is one who sees the equality of all living beings, that no matter what one's external feature is, whether one's a brahmana or a cow or an elephant or a dog or a dog eater, it's the same spiritual soul within. And Krishna says this means pundit. Actually, people appreciate this when you bring this message. Today, when I was meeting people at this mall, we were walking around a mall, and we just meet people randomly, and I would show them the books, and I explained to them that actually, I showed them the picture in the Bhagavad Gita that's illustrated to, or painted to illustrate this verse, Vidya Vinaya Sampane. It has a picture of a sage, and he's looking at the different entities I just mentioned, like the brahmana and the cow, and he's seeing the spiritual soul within. So I'd show people that, and I'd say, actually, these bodies are only external. Our real self is the spiritual essence within. Every person agrees with that. And in fact, it's something that whole governments agree with. For instance, the United States Constitution says that every living being is created equal. Externally, none of us are equal. You can run any kind of test, physical or mental, and you won't find one person that's equal to another. And therefore, it's talking about a higher principle. It's just that people don't know how to apply it. They don't know what that means exactly. So they try to apply it on an external level, and they mess things up so much, thinking this person should be equal to that person, and everyone should be treated equal on the physical level. But actually, it's not possible, because we all have different needs, interests, and concerns, physically and mentally, but spiritually, we're all from the same original source, and that's the foundational part that really matters. And this is the kind of knowledge that we're distributing. Thank you for your question. Other reflections or questions? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna. So I really like the point that you made about that being friendly, that it's all about being friendly when you go out to pop-up distribution, and really brings humility when you do that, because you do get a lot of rejections. And I also like the point where you met those four people that actually let you in, and then you sat down with them and they were eating non-veg and drinking Coca-Cola, and then, like, who would do that? Like, who would sit with them then? If we not go out and show them our literature and show them what value Bhagavad Gita can have for them, then who would do that? So
yeah.
So it's something we have to do. We are meant to do this. And then also the last thing was about everyone is a temple, that I really love about what you said, which is everyone has Paramatma inside them and everyone is a walking temple. And if we think, and I've been judgmental as well, I mean, when we go out, it's like, this person will take it, this person will not take it.
Yeah.
And we do that, and we shouldn't be doing that. Everyone should be treated equally. We should try. And even if we fail, we should at least try.
Thank you for those points. Mm. Also, you know, many people do say no, but I can say practically, as one learns what Prabhupada says of the art of book distribution, then one can increase the percentage of people who say yes by learning a few things about how to communicate to people and interact with them. As an example, what do I mean? I notice sometimes devotees, when they're doing book distribution, they'll approach people and ask a yes or no question. Say, are you interested in yoga? And they're like, no. Okay, that person's finished. You don't ask a yes or no question. I ask questions. I say, I'm from California. Where are you from? There's no yes or no to that. They answer someone wherever they say, I'm from Maryland or I'm from Virginia. I say, oh, great, here, I'll show you this. And then they feel qualified to see it. And there's another principle we were talking about today, because after we all went out, we met back at Lokan Vidarbha's house and we shared experiences and realizations. And one of the principles that I was telling the devotees about while we were out there in the field was how to honor rejection, how to honor objections. As people have objections when you show something, but you have to honor it. You can't resist it, but you honor it and keep moving on. For instance, today I went to my favorite mattress store. What mall was I at?
Germantown Square.
I think it's the third time I've been there in several years. So there's the first time I went there, I brought the devotees into this mattress store. Were you all there the first time? Anyone, the first time we went in the mattress store, there was an Arab guy in there, and he bought a book for $20, and then I went there another year, and another person took. So this time I went for the mattress. I'm going into the mattress store. So I went in there, and there was a guy all alone. There was nobody else in the store. He was all by himself, and he was a little startled to see me come in, followed by about 10 devotees. And anyway, I went over like really happy, like, hey, this is my store. You know, I come here every year. So happy to see you. And he was from New York. And I explained the whole thing to him. And I was showing him the book. And when I first showed it to him, you know, I handed him the book. And he said, oh, I'm a Christian. And he handed it back. And I said, oh, I'm sorry. And I just took it back. And I said, beautiful. Here, give me the other... Whoever was with me, I said, give me the Christian book. Right? So he gave me, what did you give me?
The Glory of India.
The Glory of India. So he gave me the Glory of India. I gave him that. Or maybe he wasn't the Christian guy, but he rejected for another reason. Yeah, he said, I don't believe in God. That was it. Yeah, because actually, on that one, I was a little abrupt, and I said, spiritual books, you believe in God, right? And he goes, no, my mistake. And he handed it back, but I honored it. I honored the fact he was handed back. I didn't try to push it back at him. I just accepted it. And then I said, oh, give me the other one, as if the other one was better for him, right? You gave it to me. So then we opened the cover, the shrink wrap on that, and I handed it to him. And then I went on talking. So I honored his objection and that he rejected it. And so that's he ended up buying it. He gave a donation for the book, right? And so we're 3 for 3 at the furniture shop. And so mattress store. And so these are just principles, but you'll learn to do these. And as you approach people, you know, you'll refine your approach. And Prabhupada called this learning the art of book distribution. He said, I want everyone to learn the art of distributing these books. And you can see Prabhupada was so expert. People say that he had 40 rupees when he got off the Jaladuta, right? It's not true. It's not true. He had those 40 rupees, if he had them at all, because I heard he left them with his son. But in any case, he had $20, because he sold a set of his Bhagavatams, which was 3 books at the time, to the captain. Gave him $20. So he had $20 when he got off the boat. And Prabhupada went everywhere selling books. In fact, when he went through customs, they asked him, are you going to sell all these? And he goes, no, these are just, I'm distributing them. And of course, he did sell them all. That was the mainstay of it. He went around all over town, all over New York by himself. And there were so many people that devotees met afterwards saying, oh, that person came in here with books and these pastries, the samosa he had made himself. And that's how Prabhupada started the movement, doing that kind of thing. And he did it all over India. So this is something that Dvaitacharya, Nityananda Prabhu, all of the stalwart devotees of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. It's not only noble, it's the most dignified thing that you can do, is to go into human society and offer the highest standard of knowledge so that people can take advantage of it in their lives. And you have to know how good the literature is to be inspired to do that. If you read Bhagavad Gita and you study the intricacies of the Srimad Bhagavatam and realize that it addresses every psychological condition of the human being and shows how to overcome all the obstacles of life and attain the highest perfection, you'll know that you're giving out the most important thing in the world, the most aesthetically pleasing. So, these are just some random remarks from the stream of consciousness I thought to offer you to tonight. And I'll end there, because Loka wants to say a few things. And before he does, I just want to show you something that I'm really excited about that I got when I was in Vrindavan. And it's in this little blue bag. In this blue bag, I have a very treasured object that a dear godbrother loaned to me for 1 year. And I thought to bring it here to inspire you. This is the lota that Srila Prabhupada had when he lived in Vrindavan, and that he carried with him on the Jaladuta, and that he brought to New York City. And this Jaladuta represents something. It represents to me the sacrifice Prabhupada made. When you see it, you'll see what I'm talking about, because it's dented up. He used it a lot. It was his service lota. And so my ultimate message to you tonight is catch your own Jaladuta. Life's not worth living unless you make some sacrifice. You'll never be remembered unless you make a sacrifice, that's for sure. And if you really want to please Krishna, find out how to make a sustained sacrifice that's in line with the teachings of Lord Krishna and Lord Chaitanya, and especially refined by Srila Prabhupada, such a way that you can make an impact on the world. And if you do that to the best of your ability, no heroics necessary, but to the best of your ability, then your life will be completely successful. And you'll please Lord Krishna by your humble effort. And you'll also do good for the world. And that is really the calling of your lives, especially because you're born in Bharat to do this work. So thank you very, very much for all that you're doing here, for sticking to this principle of devotional service. And it's been a pleasure to be here with you. Hare Krishna. Maybe.
Should I first say something and then show the video?
Oh, yeah, just say a few words and show the video. It's a long video, so better you start early.
So, as Prabhu talked about, this is a great opportunity for all of us to share this. As we're talking about this rain, and there are certain parts of the world which don't get any rain. So, but we can always send them some relief by, in the form of these transcendental books, which provide everything, not just the rain, but also food, nourishment, love, mother's love. Right when we came from India, we all remember. When we allow a living entity to hear that message of love, that really brings the most peace and strength to the living entity. So we have this campaign, which Prabhupada started, Be a Giver campaign, Gita for All. We want to send out thousands of these Gitas, and we have been sending out thousands of these Gitas all over the America. This year itself, we have sent out 15,000 Bhagavad Gitas just to motels. Now, when you go to a motel, when you open the drawer, there's a great chance you'll find a Bhagavad Gita in addition to a Gideon Bible. And more people, we continuously hear more and more stories where people, a couple of stories where people actually went to commit suicide. And they opened the drawer and found the Bhagavad Gita, and they just kept reading it through the night. And they came back to the motel owner in the morning and said, hey, can I take this home? And this is the way that the living entity, they're looking for this water. And we have been sending books to hospitals, prisons,
We sent books to these prisons, and last month we got a message from a prisoner. He wanted the whole Bhagavatam set, because in the Bhagavad Gita, Prabhupada talks about Bhagavatam a lot. So he said, can I get a whole Bhagavatam set? And then we sent them this whole Bhagavatam set. So rehab centers, juvenile detention centers, you name it, any place where a human being lives, we want to send these books. Prabhupada said, I want my books in every single house in America. And that is our goal. We want to send these books to every single house in America. So this is the month of Gita Marathon, where we want to send out thousands of books. Our goal is to at least send out 500 cases of books, which is more than 10,000 Bhagavad Gitas. And we need your help, because this is way we can get these books and send them out. I know when you heard Prabhu talking about going out on book distribution and knocking on doors, sometimes your heart says, I cannot do this. And that's all right. But the way we can do this and start this right now is to send out these books. And then you are actually doing it. So we have a wonderful message from his guest, Vaisheshika Prabhu. He was in Govardhan recently. He takes unusual efforts and sacrifices to spread this message. So I just wanted you to take absorb this message, and we'll show you how you can actually participate in this great marathon. Thank you.
I'm standing under a Kalpa Vriksha tree here at Surabhi Kunj. And this tree will fulfill any desire that a devotee may have. It's hard to know which desire to have. Maharaj said, if you desire to give me any benediction, please give me the benediction, but I won't have any material desire in my heart. Only desire to serve you life after life. That's the best desire.
Just
here we have the Samadhi of Sankirtan Das. He gave his whole life to distributing books and spreading the holy name all over the world. And all the devotees who give their life to Sankirtan will always have shelter at the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the holy man.
Those are beads I'm holding. Tulsi beads that I'm taking around to all of the holy places. So what you're seeing here is basically I'm taking them to all the kuns, all the deities, and many of the places allowed me to come in, put it right on the lotus feet of the deities. So these are the beads. That's what I'm holding in my hand.
At this place, anyone who begs for forgiveness for past mistakes will be forgiven by the all-merciful Lord Sri Krishna. Uddhava was so close to Krishna. Krishna depended on him for advice. He sent Uddhava to Vrindavan to see the devotion of the people of Vraj. And Uddhava was so overwhelmed that he prayed that he could simply stay here as a clump of grass and take the dust from their lotus feet, the residents of Vraj, upon his head. We're distributing that same knowledge that brings people to Vrindavan. This is the most important mission on the planet, to give the transcendental knowledge to the people of the world through Srila Prabhupada's books that actually connect them to Vrindavan. It's inconceivable how the world in its most fallen state can be receiving the highest benediction. Here at Uddhava Kund, we're praying for the success of the Sankirtan movement. I'm going to take these beads that we're offering for all the Sankirtan devotees around the world and place the sacred water of Sri Uddhava Kund upon them, praying that Sri Uddhava will bless you with a desire to live in Sri Vrindavan Dham. Gaur Premanande Haribo. We're offering these Tulsi Mala to Srila Bhakti Sut Damodar Maharaj, who was very dear to Srila Prabhupada. May anyone who wears these mala be empowered to have the intelligence to defeat the materialistic scientists. May anyone who wears these beads be protected always from anarthas that block one's path in devotional service. Dear Sri Lord Nishinadevi, Jai Prahlad Maharaj, please empower us to spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world.
He put the beads, the deities wearing these, he took them and put them around so the deity wears these beads on us.
Please give us the strength to overcome all obstacles, to always cooperate with one another in order to spread the Sankirtan movement for the pleasure of Srila Prabhupada. Thank you for considering our request. Dashina Hare Krishna from Sri Radha Kund. We were praying for the mercy of Srimati Radharani. By pleasing Srimati Radharani, one can very easily please Krishna. Srila Prabhupada told us that Srimati Radharani is especially pleased when we help others come closer to Krishna. This means the Sankirtan movement. We're praying here at Radha Kund that everyone who wears these beads will be empowered to spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world by the mercy of Srimati Radharani. Just after dipping these beads in Radha Kund, now we're going to place them in Sri Shama Kund. We're offering these beads to Srila Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who is one of the leaders of our sampradaya. May he empower everyone who wears these beads and who participates in the Sankirtan movement to have success in devotional service. Hare Krishna. Dear Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, Srila Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami, please give us the strength to spread the Sankirtan movement. Thank you for considering our request. Hare Krishna.
Is this
we are here at the Bhajan Bhutia of Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur begging for his blessings for all of the devotees who are engaged in the Sankirtan movement. May they meet with great success in all of their endeavors.
Here we are at the Bhajan Bhutia of Srila Raghunath Das Goswami praying for his causeless mercy. We'll be pressing these beads to the dust from this holy samadhi. May all those who wear these beads be inspired to chant Hare Krishna 24 hours a day. Dear Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj, please give us the strength to spread the Sankirtan movement all over the world. Thank you for considering our request. Govardhan Puja 2018 at Govardhan Hill. As we're offering Go Puja, in the assembly of all the Vaishnavas, I hereby read the names of all the devotees who significantly helped to place Bhagavad Gita's all over the world. Sri Krishna Purushottam Das Aparna Lakshmi Ramanujan Chaitanya, Hansapriya Devi Dasi, Ananda Chaitanya Das and Rasa Devi Dasi, Prabhat, Satya, Saurabhatiya, Satyabhama Devi Dasi, Shashank and Mukunda. I received such a great gift. This is the lota that Srila Prabhupada brought with him on the Jaladuta. It was recently loaned to me by a very dear godbrother who asked me to take it around and show it to those who are willing to make a sacrifice to expand the Sankirtan movement, to catch their own Jaladutta. This is a very powerful item brought by Srila Prabhupada personally on the Jaladutta to New York City, now coming to you very soon.
So here, you saw the special neck beads. We had them just limited quantity, just barely enough for the full crowd, I'd say. So we have these different levels where you can plug in and help us send out these books.
You want me to keep this one?
Yeah.
So these are some of the highlights that what we have achieved this year. As you can see, thousands of books have been sent to hotels, motels. We also serve out free vegan prasadam throughout all the colleges in the Washington, D.C. area. So twice a year, we set up a festival of India and serve out thousands of these hot vegan meals, as well as Bhagavad Gita and other books. More than 50,000 people we have reached this whole year in terms of different ways we have reached. We participate in many different vegan festivals. So these are some of the ways we are trying to take these books to different places. And today we are here as beggars to ask you to please consider our request in helping us send these books to more places. So for $251, you get one of these neck beads that Prabhu was showing, going around different kundas, blessed for your protection and your advancement. For $500 is Vrindavan Seva. You get two neck beads plus special puja done for you in the six Goswami temples. There are six famous temples established by the six Goswamis on the order of Lord Chaitanya. So special puja offered for you. For 1008, you get four neck beads plus the puja, plus in Jagannath Puri temple, there's this, how high is the Jagannath Puri temple? Anybody knows? What is the height of the Jagannath Puri temple? Take a guess.
Touches the sky.
It's 47 stories high. I was just reading today, Pujari goes up every day to change the flag. And there's a very interesting fact about that flag, that if any day they miss to put the flag on, then the puja in the Jagannath Puri temple will stop for 18 years. So they haven't, for the last 1800 years, they haven't missed putting the flag on the Puri temple even for one day. So when you put that flag, you make sure for the next 18 years the puja won't stop. Now this is the power of this flag, and we'll bring the flag for you. For $2,008, you get all that, 8 neck beads, so every family member is protected, and plus, as Prabhu was showing, you'll do a special yagya in the name of your family in Govardhan. So these are some of the options. I know you don't care about all these other things, you just want to give. So please consider, and please come forward to help us in whatever way you can. Radha Kunda Seva, please say your name. Divyanand Prabhu, can you take down the names on the sheet? I have a pen here. So if you can just say your name.
Jai Shri Vijayaram.
Jai Shri Vijayaram. Please give her a big hand.
I can hand the beads to them.
Yes. And you can please come and get your beads from the hands of Prabhu. I need a... Prabhu, can you play the mridanga? As if you won the lottery. And you also get the...
Can I ask my little girl to take...
Please. Little, big, everybody is welcome here. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. one. What's the name of your daughter?
Lakshmi.
Lakshmi. Thank you, Lakshmi. Please come and take the beads from Prabhu's hand. Aibo! Yeah, at the end of the program, I'll let you know how you can pay by check, cash, money order, or credit card. We accept everything except babies. Anybody else? Whenever I say that line, my wife just squirms.
One Giriraj Seva.
Can you please say your name?
Priyankar.
Priyankar Seva. Please come. Who wants to go next? This is your opportunity to establish that connection, that phone call between the child and the parent. Yes, Prabhu. Jagannath Puri Seva. So by doing that, you have made sure for the next 18 years, Jagannath Puri worship will continue on. Thank you.
Deepak Mala and Ramita Shrestha.
Thank you. And where do you live?
Ashburn.
Ashburn. Yeah. Please come and take.
You can get more from me later on.
Thank you. Please come, Mataji. Yeah, his wife. You can give her a beat also. Thank you. Yes,
please.
Radhakun Seva. Please. Please say your name. Oh, Mayank. You're his brother, right?
Yeah. Thank you.
Mayank Prabhu ki jai. Vrindavan Seva. Please say your name.
Rajendra Kumar and my wife Seema.
Please come. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Today is the day when I wish that people had four hands. Chaturbhuj. Anybody else? Yes, Prabhu. Vrindavan Seva. Mataji, please come. Two. You can get them. Yeah. Krishna, wants to go next? If you guys are thinking if there is anything higher than that, there are options. So don't be so disappointed.
The Motel Gita program started several years ago when I was sitting in the temple room at ISC, and Mayapur Vihari Prabhu came up to me. He said, normally I wouldn't interrupt your japa, but I have a really good idea. And I said, please tell me. And he said, I have this idea to place Bhagavad Gita's in all the motels, hotels all over North America. I said, please go for it. And just after that, when we started the program, a couple weeks into it, CBS heard about it and they came and interviewed us. And that made a video that went viral. And then we started getting into all the hotel and motel shows all over America. They normally cost $5,000 to get in. The first one cost us that much, just to show the Gitas, so we could reach all the biggest hoteliers. But then they realized who we were, and that we were doing this just to give Bhagavad Gitas, and so that people could read them all over America. So they started giving us a free space in these huge motel shows. And then it took off, and now nationwide, over 500,000 Bhagavad Gitas have been placed in motels and hotels. So I just wanted to tell you all that that's not very much. Mm. The Gideon's Bibles people are whooping us. And I don't know if you want to stand for that, but the Christians are giving a lot more money for spreading Bibles. And it's my dream to see that we all unite and give more money to see that Bhagavad Gita is the largest distributed book in the world, the widest distributed books in the world. I also just mentioned one more thing about giving, just in case it helps. And it's my doctrine of preemptive giving. And that is, whatever possession you have now or money will be taken one way or the other. And you don't get any credit when it's taken. But when you preemptively give it before it's taken, then you get eternal credit. So you can just weigh the two and see the difference, and add that on to the fact that we should have Bhagavad Gita as the most popular book in the world, that it's read. It's in all the universities and all the hotels and motels. The Gideon's people are doing in about 240 languages, and they're doing hundreds of millions of Bibles. Mm-hmm. So let's please do bigger than that for the Bhagavad Gita all over the world. Is that possible? Please say yes.
Yes.
Thank you very much. And also, if you'll give me one of those mudungas, I would like to count down from 10, because once we get down to zero, then the opportunity for preemptive giving may evaporate and not be available. And if you want to stop the countdown, then please raise your hand and help spread Bhagavad Gita all over the world. Nirakula will come and distribute these beads and touch you on the head with this lota that Prabhupada personally used on the Jalagita. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, a few people are. You ready?
Yes.
Krishna 10, Krishna 9, Krishna 8, Krishna 7. Krishna 6, Krishna 5, Krishna 4, Krishna 3, Krishna 2, Krishna 1, Krishna 0.5, Krishna 0.25, Krishna 0.25.
Hello!
And one other thing you can help with when somebody raises their hand and says they'd like to give, you have to say Hare Bol really loud.
Hello!
Okay, that wasn't really loud, but when the next one happens, you get a chance to redeem yourself. Are you ready? We'll stop the countdown only if you raise your hand to give a donation.
Okay.
Krishna 10, Krishna 9, Krishna 8, Krishna 7, Krishna 6, Krishna 5.
I mean, it's not over here, but I think there was like a donation for the box, like a box of Gita, was 111.
Sure.
So,
We'll take anything except baby, so you're really welcome. Please come.
Name?
Yeah. Please say your name.
Dwarkesh.
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 Haribol! Okay,
it's about 5 on the scale of 1 to 10. Try to get up to 6 next time. Krishna 10, Krishna 9, Krishna 8, Krishna 7, Krishna 6, Krishna 5.
Say your name?
Avi.
Avi.
Avi. Haribol!
Haribol!
Completely. And over 11 years he had been chanting 16 rounds and more, and then reading all the Prabhupada's books corresponding with the prison ministry. So I went to visit him. Actually, after I was leaving there, I was talking to the chaplain, who was a Christian, on the way out. He said, "You know, your man in here is talking to a lot of people. I think you're going to need to send more books." Mm. I said, "Well, how many are we talking?" And he said, "At least 300. Mm. He said, "All these inmates are starting to read the Bhagavad Gita. So when you donate, these books are immediately going out. It's not that they're sitting around. It's not that the money sits in a CD or something like that. But there's a huge pipeline. And the second that you give a donation, the books go flying out the door and they go to these various destinations. Where people are actually sitting there reading them and imbibing the nectar from the Bhagavad Gita and changing their lives." Mm. Krishna 10, Krishna 9, Krishna 8, Krishna 7, Krishna 6.
One Radha Kund Seva.
Krishna Hare Haribo!
Krishna Krishna
Krishna Krishna
Krishna
Krishna This is the time to get all the Kumon students here.
0 3 1 2 5
Hare Krishna. Hare
Krishna.
Radha Kund Seva.
Krishna.
Easier to do just Krishna 10 again.
0.0
0019. 0019. 0009. 0009. 0009.
One last chance to send out these Gitas. Haribol!
We're not going to go to fractions anymore. That's it. Last one. Krishna 10, Krishna 9, Krishna 8, Krishna 7, Krishna 6, Krishna 5, Krishna 4, Krishna 3, Krishna 2, Krishna 1.
Vrindavan Seva. Last night, when we were doing this program at our house, a very intelligent boy asked, what is the price to get into this program? I said, there's no price to get in, but there's a price to get out.
Look, I'm on one.
Anybody, last chance? I'll do one more, just to... This is the silence the living entity experience in this material world. When you don't feel that connection with Krishna.
One Jagannath Seva.
Yes? Krishna 6, Krishna 5, Krishna 4, Krishna 3, Krishna 2, Krishna 1.
You know, by your clapping, you're actually making the dinner warmer and warmer. You guys decide, this is the last clap, okay? Should we do it? You guys say yes or no, I'm not going to say yes or no. Haribo!
Krishna 4, Krishna 3, Krishna
absolutely last chance. Which one? Radha Kunj Seva. Hari Bol.
Pujaris wanted to have them because they knew, they saw what I was doing, and they all asked, you know, to take one of those beads, so they considered it very special. Mm. They'd gone to all the kuns. I only showed a few in there, but I spent a lot of time going around to all the temples. It was very charming how, even I went to the Narada kuns, and the Pujari took and put it right in Narada Muni's hands. Mm. And as you saw, Mrinyadeva, he wore the beads around his neck.
We went back to the same temple, and the Pujari told us that Narasimhadeva deity self-manifested from Govardhan, and Mother Yashoda used to pray to Narasimhadeva whenever Krishna would be in danger. So he was telling us that this is a very special deity, and provides a great protection for us and our children.
Look, I'm on one. I can't do anything until you authorize.
I said yes. If you want to say no, you can go ahead.
Three, two, one. Go,
Premanand. So those of you who have pledged, you can come forward and either pay by PayPal, we'll give you the PayPal address, or you can write a check to ISKCON Baltimore and give to either me or Divyanand Prabhu, or you can pay by cash, and there's no time to get money order now. So. Thank you very much. Thank you for your participation. And we have some special bands for you. This is a part of our Be a Giver campaign. But also, there's a request that if you guys can sign up, we have a website called Be a Giver, prabhupadmarathon.org. If you can sign up, we have a goal of 10,000.
Devotees all over this is from the BBT. Devotees all over the world are wearing these. It's a way to unite the whole world around the concept of spreading Krishna consciousness together. No donation or anything required. It's just a matter of bringing awareness. So you'll see people in many different countries that have these. So I have them in small and large sizes. So if you'd like
so
to
please come forward.
Marman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman. Hey, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman, Nachari Armarman.